Thanks for joining us online at New Life Church. We're so excited for the message that we'd love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life, our community, and the world. If you have a story to share, email us at info@newlife4kokomo.org. If you would like to give financially towards this ministry, you can do so by giving online at newlife4kokomo.org or on the New Life Church app. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear from the Word of God.
It's been renewing my vision for ministry, my vision for the purpose that God has for New Life Church in this community. And that's what we're sharing with you this month in this series called The Plan. And at the same time this month, we've started this thing we're calling the Growth Track. We're meeting the first four Sundays of every month. Sounds kind of funny to say that, but every once in a while there's five Sundays in the month. So we say we're meeting the first four Sundays of every month, and it's a four-step process. And so I'm sharing with you a little bit in this series of messages, too, about that, because I want everyone in our church family to be familiar with what we're doing. You've heard me talking about it all through the summer, and especially these last couple of weeks as we've got it going. The Growth Track is four steps over four Sundays. You can always complete the Growth Track from wherever you begin. So today, you can come to step three. Lunch will be provided, 12:30. We'll get you out of here by 1:30. You can come to step three even if you haven't done step one or step two yet. It's going to happen every month, all year long. So last week, we talked about being a follower of Jesus and how to have a vibrant relationship with God. I sense that there's a few people here this morning that have a vibrant relationship with God. But our entire spiritual journey begins with our relationship with God. So step one in one word is follow. Following Jesus, following him in water baptism. And this step that we're talking about today is all about the word connect. Connecting with the Word of God, connecting with other Christians in fellowship and in relationship. And I want to say that this Growth Track thing is not for adults. We want our junior and senior high students to be a part of it. We want you to come as well. We want families to come together. Because, you know, when we say that God has given everyone gifts, that means he's given everyone gifts. He hasn't given adults gifts. He has given our young people gifts as well, and so we want to help you discover what your gifts are, and we want to help you get plugged in to the life and ministry and relationships throughout the church even now. You don't have to wait until later. But have you ever been in a conversation with someone, and you may not have been fully following what they're talking about, and you might say something like, you know, I didn't quite make the connection. Not quite following you there. I didn't quite make the connection. Well, many people begin to follow Christ, but then after that step, they do nothing else. They just wait for heaven, wait for death. I'm ready for death now. I've accepted Jesus. Or wait for the rapture to come. Once we know Jesus, there is more. He wants us to make that connection. So when people come to our Growth Track in step two, we're going to give them the opportunity to connect to the church in a number of ways. Now, let me tell you about my connection to this church, okay? Some of you know it. A lot of you may not know it. But I was not just called from somewhere else to be the pastor of this church. This is my church. This is my church. New Life Church here began in 1957 on South Armstrong Street. And then as the church family grew, they built the first building here on this property, the old stone building that you see on the east side of the campus. They built that building in 1962. My family moved here in 1965. So I started coming to this church when I was just 2 years old. In 1965, if you add it up real quick, you'll figure out how old I am right now. But I've been a part of this church since that period in time. Now, I was here from the ages of 2 to 18, and then I did like everybody else does. I went to college, but I continued to come back often. I continued, as a matter of fact, during my high school years, you're looking at the guy who was the youth leader and the worship leader of this church. So, you know, going back a little ways, going back a couple of years, things were quite a bit different back then. But then I went to college, and I would continue to come back and have opportunities to preach. And then after college, I went and planted a church in Ohio. But this church had a great, great part in helping launch that church in Ohio. This church was with us all the way as we did that. I was single as I did that. Then I felt called to the Philippines, met my wife standing right about where Dan Winter's Walker is there. That's where Sharon was standing when I walked up to her and said, well, hello, how are you? Don't we know each other? and met her right there. And since I was heading to the Philippines, time was wasting. We talked a couple of times, and I said, I've only got 2 weekends available on my calendar right now. And 4 months later, we got married. And it's been a, don't you think that was romantic? Nobody thinks that was, I actually did make it better than that. I actually stood right here in this spot, and this is where I asked her to marry me. And this is where we were married. We went to the Philippines. This church was heavily involved in our missions ministry in the Philippines. We came back. We planted a church in Indianapolis. Once again, this church was heavily involved in the founding of the church in Indianapolis. And then I was involved in a church planting ministry across the state of Indiana for 3 years, helping a number of other people get new churches started in communities that needed good, vibrant, spirit-filled, life-giving churches. And then in 2004, I was asked to come back. And it was in the leading of the Lord to be the lead pastor here at this church. So God called us here. My wife was born and raised here. We know this place. We know this area. We know its history. We know this church and this community. We're not just, you know, showed up here a while back with resumes and so forth and got hired here. There are people, though, who grow up in church, and part of their story may be similar to what I just shared with you. Maybe they've been in church from the time they were children on through their teen years and youth group and so forth, but they never really come to know God. And that's sad. And there are also Christians who believe that there's more than what they've been experiencing just by the first step of following God and then not experiencing anything else. We want to be a church where people come to know God and experience everything He has for us. Now, the experiences of my life have taught me, as they do for all of us. I'm primarily a teacher. My main goal is to teach the Bible in a way that is easy to understand, to speak the truth in love, because I believe that when we understand God's Word, when we understand the teachings of the Bible and we live by them, our lives will be better. I just believe it's as simple as that. And so we want to teach the Word of God in a simple way. So what we say around here is New Life is loving and serving and speaking truth. New Life is loving and serving and speaking truth. When I came back to Kokomo to pastor the church in 2004, our church was a church of about 240 people. Many have come since then. Many have come to know Christ since then. Lives have been changed for the better. We now have 2 morning services. We have multiple small groups throughout, over 40 small groups throughout the week in various places for all kinds of various things. As I said, the building over there was built in 62. The building you're sitting in now was built in 87. The lobby and the gymnasium building you see was built in 07. We started a ministry called Upward. This was Pastor Sharon Daniels' vision, and we are getting ready to begin our 10th year of Upward. Can you believe it? We're getting ready to start year 10. That's phenomenal. And many of you have been involved in that because it takes about 100 volunteers, and there's hundreds of kids, and there'll be hundreds of kids again this year, and hundreds of moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles coming into the church. And as a result, not just of basketball, they're going to get devotions, they're going to hear testimonies, but we believe that God has more. As long as there are people in our community who don't know God, we believe that God has more for us to do to reach them and bring them to know God. So we give to missions. We give to missionary outreaches, not just around the world, but right here in Kokomo, as well as all over the world. And we help other churches get started. We don't pass the offering plate. You might have noticed that. We changed this about 2 years ago. We believe in this thing called tithing. Tithing means the first 10% of everything we receive belongs to the Lord, and we give that back to Him in the local church. But the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul said, that we are not to give under pressure or under compulsion or with arm twisting. So we believe we can teach the Bible, we believe you can read the Bible, and we believe you can obey the Bible without any pressure or without any enticement or without any compulsion. So we have offering boxes for you to be obedient in. We have an app. We have all kinds of ways for you to give online to be obedient. Now, Kokomo is a great place. There's great things happening in our community right now. There is tremendous unity among the churches. As a matter of fact, more than any place I've ever ministered, I've never experienced more unity amongst the churches than what we're experiencing here in this community. There are a lot of good churches in this community, and many of the pastors are good friends of mine. But today, I want you to learn a little bit more about what God's putting on our heart for the vision of our church family, because God has a unique purpose for each one and a unique plan, because it takes different kinds of folks to reach different people. And so we want to talk about four purposes that God has revealed to us about why we exist and why we're ministering here in Kokomo. One is that we want to help people come to know God. Simple as that. Not just mentally, but personally and intimately. God wants to know you. God wants to be in a personal relationship with you. He doesn't just want you to be fed knowledge about Him. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And that's what we go into in in-depth detail in step one of our growth track. And then second purpose we have is we want you to find freedom. Beyond coming to know God personally, all of us have areas where we feel like something is holding us back from God's best. We've all had hurts in the past. We've all had bad things happen to us. It has shaped who we are and how we feel about things. We want to lead you through a spiritual step where you will find freedom. And that's step two of our growth track, what we talked about in our growth track last week, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in this message today. But our third purpose is to help you discover your purpose. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that the work of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is not to do the work of the ministry. But the work of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is to equip the saints and enable them to do the work of the ministry. God has a ministry, a plan, and a purpose for you. You need to know why you are on this planet. Two greatest days in your life are the day that you were born and the day that you discovered why you were born. And the sad thing is there's a lot of people who never figure out that second part. They're living and dying and never really finding out God's gifts and purpose for their lives. And we think that's a tragedy. So that's what step three of the growth track is all about. And we're going to be doing that today at 12:30. And once you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, then you can make a difference. You can make a difference in this world. You can make a difference in other people's lives. And let me go back through these four again. And I want to show you how our church ministers according to these four purposes. How do we help people know God? Well, many people are coming to know God in our Sunday morning services. And it's going to continue. There's people who are coming to know God in our small groups. There's people who are coming to know God just by virtue of relationships that are happening in a variety of other ministries we have. But some people might think it's obvious. Well, yeah, Sunday morning is a time when people, you know, respond to an appeal to give their lives to Jesus and so forth. But it's really actually different than what happens in a lot of churches. Many people think that the church exists for the church people. We don't believe that. At least not primarily and not in isolation. Yes, we believe the church exists to disciple and help the believers grow. But if you are looking for a church that is just for you, you might hate it here. Just to be real honest with you. If you're looking for a church that believes that we don't exist for us alone or exclusively, but we exist for the people who are not here yet, then you just may love it here. Because that's what we're focused on. You need to have this vision for others in your own personal life, or else all the people, the way people look when they come to church, the way people dress when they come to church, the coffee in the lobby, the coffee in the sanctuary, I could go on and on and on and on and on. If you think the church is for you and for people just like you, you are going to find endless things to bug you unless you realize that the church is not just for Christians, it's not just for you, it's for people who are not here yet and who don't know Christ yet. We want to exist for them because God's given us gifts for that purpose. So you may come in sometime and somebody else is sitting in your seat. And you'll have to let them sit in your seat. I believe and I'm praying that there's coming a day when, now typically Our two morning worship services are almost evenly divided. About maybe 60% of our church family usually comes in the 9:30, and about 40% usually comes in the 11 o'clock. But I'm believing that God is going to help us together as we discover our purpose and we get involved in ministry and making a difference in other people's lives, that God's going to help us get to a place where you're going to come to a service that's the service that you normally come to, and you're going to have a hard time finding a seat. And so, you know what? You're going to have to come to service at a different time, because it's not all about you. And there might come a time where we even need to go to a service in a different campus, at a different location, if God blesses us. We have to constantly organize ourselves in such a way to do whatever it takes, short of sin, to reach lost people. I'm telling you, there's nothing easy about a church that loves lost people. There's nothing easy about a church that loves people who are far from God and wants to help bring them to know God. So we want to orient people who are far from God to understand the service. That's what this little purplish folder is about. It's why we give it out every week, because we want guests to look at this and be able to just at a glance, not with the whole big book. You can get the whole big book at the green tables, our hospitality tables in the lobby, and find out all about our groups. But we just want them at a glance. This is at a glance. This is who we are. This is what we're all about. This is what we do. You see, God loves the world. You can read the Bible, and you can come, think of me, stay with me. You can read the Bible, and you can come to the conclusion that God is not thinking so much about his found kids as he is distracted by his lost kids. You go to Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us three stories. There was a lost coin, there was a lost sheep, there was a lost son. All three times, the story ends the same way. He leaves the one that he has found to go get the one that he's lost. That's how God feels. And if you've ever lost something that's of value to you, you understand that. You ever lost a kid? Anybody here ever lost a kid? Been in the mall, turn around, they're not there. This happened to us with Anna one time. I don't know how old she was, 4, 5, 6, not any older than that. And we're in a mall, and we just turn around, and she's not there. And I've heard of these situations that lasted a lot longer than ours did. For thank the Lord, ours just lasted a few minutes. But man, you're just like, all your blood runs out of your head and goes down to your feet, and your stomach just drops, and you're like, because you know the stories of what happens when kids get stolen. And I mean, there was nothing else more important in our lives at that moment than, where's Anna, where's Anna, where's Anna, where's Anna? We got to find Anna. That's how God feels. God can look down at us, and he can get irritated because something that he loves is missing. And he made it very clear in the Bible that he wants us to reach out for his lost kids. And he says if we do, he will be with us in that. Now, some of you may have, I had two kids. Some of you may have more kids. Maybe you got three, maybe you got four. Say you got four kids and you lose one. You probably say, no big deal, I got three more. Is that what happens? If you got four kids and you lose one, is it like, no big deal? No big deal, I got another one. Isn't that crazy? What if then you're trying to find, all your efforts are trying to find that one lost kid, and one of your remaining kids comes to you, I'm hungry. Can we get ice cream now? You told us we were going to go to the toy store. Son, Brian's gone. He's missing. Nothing else matters until we find him, and you're not going to get dinner for days if we don't find him. So think of how our prayers must sometimes sound when we pray. How often are we praying for God's lost kids to be found? This is the heartbeat of our church. This has always been my heartbeat. Evangelism has always been a priority of my ministry. We want you to understand this. We are going to do everything we can to serve you. We're going to do everything we can to bless you. But I'm telling you, it's not our highest priority, because it wasn't Jesus' highest priority. Jesus' priority was to die on the cross for people who were lost. Shed his blood, be whipped, beaten, tortured, brutalized beyond description so that people would come to know him. And so we want to reach as many people as we possibly can. And we want to orient the time when we are together, prime time, when people who don't know God have an opportunity is Sunday morning when we gather together. So our Sunday morning services focus on four values. One is celebration. It's what we were doing just a few moments ago. It's one of our priorities to come and to celebrate the goodness of God. We believe church should be enjoyable. I've heard old curmudgeons, you know, gripe and complain about pastors telling jokes. Church ain't funny. Church shouldn't be funny. This is serious business, don't you know that? I know there are times to be serious, and I know sometimes people can be too flippant. But sometimes churches are so somber and so serious, it's like going to a funeral every single solitary week instead of a celebration. Listen, Jesus ain't dead anymore. He's alive. We've had people tell us coming into our church has been like a breath of fresh air, and we believe people should look forward to coming. Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Is that how you feel? Not everybody feels that way. We want people to feel that way. Every time we come to church, let's celebrate better than the football game or better than the Saturday night party. Church ought to be the highlight of our week. So celebration. We also want to focus on inspiration. It is the presence of God. Even as we sensed here this morning, the presence of God is what changes lives. We don't do that. I can't change anybody's life. That's why we pray. That's why we want people to have a powerful encounter with God. I don't want people to have a powerful encounter with the church. I want them to have a powerful encounter with God. Sometimes they have a powerful encounter with the church and it ain't so grand. I want them to have a powerful encounter with God. We value the presence of God. Also, preparation. We want to give messages that prepare people for life. The Bible gives us practical application to everyday living. We want to walk through the Bible and help people know how to live. We want to give people messages that they can use on Monday. And then salvation. We want to see this every week. We want people to come and meet God. No matter what the topic is. We can have all kinds of topics in our message, but ultimately we want it to come to the opportunity that people have to meet Jesus. So if you decide, if you're a guest here today, or if you're maybe been coming for a while and you're not just quite sure yet, if you decide to be a part of this church, you need to be a part of this main purpose of our church family, and that is we want you to help us reach as many people as we possibly can for the cause of Christ, because there's still a lot of people that Jesus died for who don't know that yet. And we want to do it together. So let me share with you how simple it is for you to be involved. How you can share Christ with other people. One, I know I usually only have one list. I've got like three or four lists today. So just that's okay. We're breaking it up. We're being a little different today. Accept the personal responsibility. Whether you like it or not, Jesus expects all of us to reach the people that are closest to us. Their blood is our responsibility. You are God's plan. God wants to reach other people. Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. Neither was Timothy. But Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, do the work of an evangelist. I'm not a mechanic either, but I put a new battery in my lawnmower Friday. Come on. Big stuff, man. I had to look up on the internet where the red cable went and where the black cable went, which I knew one of them went one place, and I had to make sure I didn't get it wrong. God wants to reach. So I'm not a mechanic, but I had to do the work of a mechanic. You might not be an evangelist, but you are called to do the work of an evangelist. That's why we want to show you how easy it is for you to reach people. Build a relationship. Build a relationship. Jesus was so good at being a connector. Jesus connected first before he corrected. Let me tell you something. People aren't looking for a theological debate. If you want to have theological debates on Facebook, start a closed group. Don't make it public. You'll be like, is that all you guys do at church? Is just argue and fight with one another? Forget it. I ain't coming. People aren't looking for a theological debate. They're looking for love. They're looking for something to be rubbed in to the open wounds of their lives and bring them healing and bring them comfort. And that should take some of the pressure off, because see, that means you don't have to have all the answers. People don't care how much you know. They want to know that you care. People aren't looking for a debate. They're looking for love. Love people. Build a relationship with them. If we do that, then we're going to reach some lost people. And then just share your personal story. Can I tell you something? Evangelism is not telling people that they're wrong. It's not evangelism. Well, that's wrong, and this wrong, and this is a sin, and that is a sin. The Bible tells us that we are to be witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness tells their side of the story. This is what happened to me. We're not to tell people what they should do. We're to tell people what Jesus has done in us. Now, after they come to Jesus, then we can coach and we can mentor and we can disciple and do all that stuff. But if they don't know Jesus yet, it's not time for that. You tell your story. You tell them, I don't have it all together, but I can tell you this. Jesus made a difference in my life, and here's how. It's all it takes. Jesus said, let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and glorify my Father that's in heaven. So look for opportunities to just tell your story. For me, I grew up in church, 6 years old, and it was real. For somebody else, you were 16. For somebody else, you were 26. For somebody else, you were 40. Just say, this is what my life was like, but then I finally gave my life to Jesus, and look what's happened since. Perfect? No. Free of trouble? No. But have I got a friend that walks with me through this stuff now? Yeah. And then give people a personal invitation. If you know how to give a personal invitation to accept Jesus and pray a prayer with them, we model it almost every week here in church. You can just do what we do at the end. Go ahead and do that. But maybe it's just an invitation, come to church with me. You know now 4 out of 5 Sundays we're going to have a free lunch. So you can give them a free lunch. We got coffee's free now. You know, everybody can invite people to church. Tell people about your church. I see people who are doing this on Facebook all the time. That's tremendous. Everyone can do this in some format, even personally. Tell people which service you go to. Offer to buy them coffee, donut, whatever beforehand or lunch after. And then when the service comes... Okay, I'm going to say something just to our family here today. If you're a guest, you feel free to listen in. We don't do it the same way every time. It's not rote. It's not written down. We try to, you know, have a little variety in what we do. But oftentimes, we'll ask people to bow their heads and close their eyes. I heard one preacher one time, he said, close your head and bow your eyes. Close your head. Wait a second. No. Bow your head and close your eyes. Can I tell you something? That's good to do. Pray. The people who don't know Jesus, come to Jesus. But if you've brought a friend with you, I'm going to give you permission to peek. Because when the friend you brought raises your hands, that'll be one of the greatest days of your life. And you could just pray with them. Don't have to force them to do anything, twist their arm, cajole them or anything. Just give you more to pray about for. So let's make a deal. You do what I can't do. And I'll try my best to do what not everybody else can do. I can't know all of your friends. And not everybody can teach from the front up here. So let's work together on this to bring people to Jesus. So you get them here. You know, we had a tremendous time of worship this morning. That just don't happen like falling off a log. There's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of planning. It's not staging, because we are praying for the presence of God to, we're thanking him that he has given us gifts, but we're asking him to come and enhance our gifts, and then through those gifts do what we cannot do. It's not just showing up, okay, what key are we in now? Because we're believing to give people, with the Lord flowing through us and the gifts he's given us, to give people the best experience we possibly can. Now, the purpose of that is so they can meet somebody who can change their life. So they won't be distracted by distractions. There are other places we're helping people come to know God, in our city, in our nation, in our world. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, that refers to, they were in Jerusalem. That was their city. So we've got to be witnesses in our city. This is our first responsibility. So not only are we reaching out to our city, we're supporting other ministries in our city, our rescue mission, our crisis pregnancy center, Bridges After School Outreach, the Crossing School. You can get involved in all of these. And then he said Judea and Samaria. That is our nation, the United States of America. And you know the best way to reach our nation is through the local church. We believe there need to be more churches, not less. We don't believe there's any place that couldn't use another good life-giving church. And so we want to help new churches get started. And then to the ends of the earth, Jesus said, that's our world. And that's why we give to ministries in India and the Philippines and Vanuatu and Chile and in many other places. So how can you join us? You can pray. You can pray for all of these outreaches I mentioned. We can give you a list. You can include it in your prayer list. You can put these outreaches in your daily prayer time because the priority is for people to come to know God. You can go visit these ministries right here locally. You can be a mentor through Bridges. You can be a mentor at Elwood Haines. You can be a mentor through the Cross and get involved in those kind of things. Everybody should go on a missions trip at some point. You'll never be the same after you see what the church is doing around the world. And then give. You know, we don't do a lot of asking, but we talk a lot about what we could do and about the vision God's given us. We're doing so much more than what you can see going on in these four walls. So just simply ask God what he wants you to do and then respond to what he says. And all of that comes under our priority purpose of wanting people to know God. And then we want people to find freedom, and we believe this happens through small groups, through life-giving relationships. Real life happens in the context of relationships. Church services alone, not demeaning the value of church services at all. I'm here. Everybody come. Bring people. Be faithful. But church services alone are not going to change your life. You know, all my life I've heard Hebrews 10:25 quoted, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." Has been rammed into me since I was a child. What about verse 24? "Let us consider how we can provoke one another to love and good works." When's the last time you just sat down and said, let's see, I want to provoke somebody? I actually do this all the time. But I want Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It's what it says. It's the Bible. But I want to provoke them to love. And I want to provoke them to good works. How can I do that? You know, that most often happens in smaller relationships. Most often happens in smaller groups. So we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the large group. You know, if I ask you to name the last five messages that I preached, you couldn't do it. And I'm really great, you know. But if I ask you to name five people, five relationships that have impacted your life, either for better or for worse, you could come up with that pretty quick. If you're going to really find freedom, you need the dynamic of a small group relationship. It's a biblical model. Acts chapter 20, verse 20, Paul said, "I never shrank from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes." The larger service and the smaller group. Paul said, we need them both. How does a small group help me find freedom? James 5:16, "Confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, so that you may be healed." We confess our sins to Jesus so that we are forgiven. We don't confess our sins to one another so that we're forgiven, but we say to others, "I need help. I'm struggling." It may be uncomfortable, but all of us have something we need to be healed from. Something hurts. Something's messed up. We all have issues. How are we going to deal with our issues? The Bible tells us, the Bible says that doesn't happen with God alone. God has chosen for us to be in one another's lives to help us through this process so that we can be healed fully and completely, finding spiritual healing and freedom in my life. So I need somebody that I can walk through the stuff of life with and say, I'm struggling with this. I need you to pray with me about this. I need freedom from this. Small groups provide three things. One, they provide a place for us to connect with one another. You need a place to connect. I know some people say, I think the church is just too big. The fact is, a church of 35 is too big if you're not connected. Any church is too big if you're not connected. Some people go to small churches and they never meet anybody, and then they go to a big church and they develop tremendous relationships. It's not the size of the church that matters. It's the number of people who are still lost and don't know God that matter. But it depends on being in a place where relationships are valued. Everybody needs a place to connect. Everybody needs a place where everybody knows your name. So we need to get bigger and smaller at the same time. Pastor, how do we get bigger and smaller at the same time? Well, we get bigger because there are so many more people who don't know Jesus. Every number is a soul. Every soul has a story. Everyone is a life for which Jesus died. But we need to get smaller in our groups, and we need more and more small groups because people matter, because you matter. And small groups provide a place to protect each other. You need a place where people know you're struggling. You need a place where you can have accountability partners. And as I said before, say, look, I messed up. I need you to pray with me. I need you to hold me accountable. Quit pretending that you've got it all together. Be honest. This is how we grow. This is the plan. Small groups are a place for us to grow together. The Bible calls this discipleship. And real discipleship happens in a discussion process with other people. You'll grow a lot faster with other people. What did Jesus do? He taught the masses, and then he went off to the side with a group of about 12 guys. He spent a lot of time with those 12 guys. You'll grow a lot faster in your personal walk with God in a small group relationship. Our small groups are free market. Not everybody's doing the same thing. Not everybody's just spending an hour studying or praying. Some people are bowling. Some people are golfing. Some people are decorating homes. Some people are doing all kinds of things. How does that work, Pastor? How does a person grow if they're doing that? The real value is in the relationships, not what the group actually does. These friendships that are developed in these relationships and the people that pray together and grow in the faith together is because they're simply doing life together. And then when somebody's sick, it's the small group that's at the hospital. When there's a funeral, it's the small group that's there. And you're walking through life together. When there's the weddings and the anniversaries, it's the small group that's there. They become your extended family. And with some families that are really struggling, they need a healthier family. Small group provides that. So we let people do what they want to do. So in our info book, you'll find our groups categorized under life studies, things to study, life services, ways to minister and serve others together, and life interest, what people are interested in. We break it up so that people have opportunity to get in a group 3 times a year. They also have an opportunity to get out of a group 3 times a year. People have an opportunity to start a new group. People have an opportunity to stop a new group. We follow the pattern of the school year because almost everybody's life follows the pattern of the school year, but join a group in September or August, in the fall, in January, and then in May, we'll have those displays out there and give you an opportunity to connect, as the scripture tells. You know, you can host a group, you can lead a group, but no, Pastor, I can't do that. Listen, get online, get on our website, New Life for Kokomo, and just click on Start a Small Group and watch a 30-minute video. There's a 30-minute video, there's a 30-minute audio, but just if you're just curious, watch that 30-minute video. Because let me ask you a question. Can you operate a DVD player? Now those are going by the wayside, you know. If you've had trouble operating the DVD player, those are going by. How many still doing VHSs? If you still got a VHS that works, God bless you. You can't buy those anymore. It's going to be at the place where you can't buy DVDs anymore. Everything's streaming and online, but we can help you. All you got to do is either stream a video from online. And how many of you can nod your head? How many of you can go, that's interesting? And then how many of you can say, Jesus, help us? I'm telling you right there, that's 90% of everything you need to lead a small group. Serious. And then there's this thing. It's not really a thing. It's a person called the Holy Spirit. And he comes alongside of us and makes up for every area in which we lack. So there's a whole lot more of you that can lead or even just simply host a small group than and what you know. So we need more groups, and you need more ministry. So we want to help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose. We're doing this through the growth track, as we've been saying. Step one is follow. Everything begins with your relationship with God. Be baptized in water if you haven't already. Step two is connect. Last week's growth track, this message this morning, connect to the church, connect to small groups, get involved. Step three of the growth track is discover. We're going to be talking about that today. We're going to give people a personality profile. We're going to give them a spiritual gifts inventory. We're going to start looking at people's design. That's exciting. Why is it exciting? Because how God made you points to what He has called and gifted you to do. Everyone is unique, and those uniquenesses need to be discovered and will help you find a place where then you can do the fourth step. You can serve other people. And regardless of what the variety of our gifts are, they've been given to us so that we can serve others. You'll never be more blessed than when you know you're serving and making a difference in somebody else's life. Especially if it results in other people coming to know Jesus. So, for some, they have been given a gift. It's listed in Romans chapter 12, the gift of hospitality. And so they greet and they smile and they shake hands, and that makes people feel comfortable. Comfortable enough to hear a message and maybe give their lives to Jesus. For some, they've got a spiritual gift. Romans chapter 12 lists the spiritual gift of serving. And so they clean, or they cook, or they do maintenance, or they set up tables and chairs for meetings. And when people walk into a clean building and the tables are already set up and everything's right, and they can smell the coffee already cooking, it makes it a little easier for them to listen to a message about maybe giving their lives to Jesus. Every gift is given to serve and to begin to open people's hearts. So you can do those kind of things, all kinds of opportunities for service. Jesus said that when you find your place around your design and you serve in it, that's where real joy is. The biggest joy in life is not making money. The biggest joy in life is not a dream vacation. The biggest joy in life is not when your favorite team wins the championship. You know what I thought? I thought if the Cubs win the World Series this year, okay? First time since 1908. If they win the World Series this year, you know what a great slogan would be for them? They should come out with it the day after the World Series. Wait till next year. I mean, wouldn't that be great? They should hire me for marketing. The biggest joy in life is not when your team wins the big game. None of those things last. Real joy comes from the fact that you found your purpose. And your life is making a difference. There's no better feeling in the world than laying your head on your pillow at night and saying, I made a difference in somebody's life today. Made a difference in the world today. This gives meaning to every part of your life. So I want to challenge every single one of you, whether you're new or whether you've been coming here for years, I want to challenge you to complete the growth track. Again, come when you can. You don't have to do it in order. It'll get you started in the direction of real fulfillment in your life. If you say, I already know that. I'm already involved. I'm already doing these things, Pastor Rennie. Bring somebody along with you and just be a friend to sit by their side as they go through the process. And then we can make a difference. And that's what we're calling our dream team. Not so much referring to them as volunteers, because see, a volunteer is, you volunteer to do something for me. I don't want you to think of it that way. It's not about us. I want you to find out what your gift is so that you can have the fulfillment of serving and knowing what God has called you to do. I've heard people say, you know, that some churches take on the personality of the pastor. We don't want that. Great churches don't look like the pastor. Great churches look like the people that God sends to the family. So the church shouldn't look like me. The church should look like you. So you need to dream. You need to find out what God wants for you so that you can say, I was made for this. While you're serving in the area that God has gifted you, you can say, I was made for this. There are three things that we believe about you. Every member is a minister. Most people think that's the pastor. It's not. I challenge you, if somebody asks you, hey, how many ministers do you guys have at your church? Say, oh, about 400. See what their reaction is. It's the way it is. The Bible says pastors equip the people to be the ministers. When you serve in the area in which God has gifted you, you're making just as big of a difference as the person who stands up here, whoever that may be. Every task is important. My role is not more important than your role. Every part of the body is important. Every gift is important. And then every member. Every member is a 10 in some area. Because it's what God's gifted you to do. There's an area in which you can say, I was made for this. So we want to help you find out what that area is. That's why we're going to be inviting people to step 3 of the growth track. Step 4 then, where you can utilize those gifts that God has given you. So what's your next step? If you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe that's your next step. Become a follower of Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He didn't die for others and not for you. He died for you. Jesus came from heaven to this earth for you. He did the things he did the miracles he did, lived the life he lived, taught the teachings he taught, and died on the cross for you. And he rose from the dead for you, and he went back to heaven so that he could send his Holy Spirit for you. Jesus is all about you. He loves you. And he invites you. Come on. Join the journey. He says to you the same thing he said to those disciples on the beach. Follow me. Follow Jesus. I don't say to you, follow me. Not me. I make mistakes. But join me as I follow Christ. Let's follow him together. Let's work on this thing together. Maybe for some of you, you're following Christ and you're at that place I talked about at the beginning, right? You're just waiting on the next thing. Maybe and you thought the next thing was death or the rapture or whatever. I'm following Jesus now. I'm ready to go. But there's another stage between for you to find out what your purpose is and make a difference. So maybe your next step is to come to the growth track. Finish it. Complete it. Maybe some of you, your next step is to serve. Where can I serve? Where can I make a difference? Where will my gifts best make a difference in other people's lives? Let's bow our heads this morning. I just want to ask you very quickly, do you know Jesus? Do you know him personally? Not just know about him, but do you know him personally? You've heard me talk about it this morning. That's the high goal and the high focus of this church. We want you to know Jesus. We believe your life will be blessed. We believe you'll be on a road to finding fulfillment. Now, do we believe everything, every single solitary aspect of your life is going to change overnight and tomorrow you'll start a day and there'll be no problems ahead? No. But you'll know you're forgiven. You'll know you have a relationship with Jesus. And you know that his Holy Spirit will be with you through whatever difficulties come. And you can accept Jesus right now. You can begin to follow him right now. You can get on the road. Jesus says to you, follow me. You raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to start right now. Right where you sit. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to isolate you. Just right where you sit. Pastor, I want to begin to follow Jesus today. I want to challenge you. You know, fall is a great time to invite your friends. If you're following Jesus, fall is a great time to invite your friends. Life's changing. They're getting back to the routine. Summer's over. Vacation's over. People are coming back. They're closing up their campers, and they're getting ready for winter. It's an opportunity for change in people's life. Invite your friends. Invite your friends to your small group. Invite your friends to church. We'll do everything we can to help you open the door so that Jesus can come into life. Would you stand? Let's sing one more time, I'm Free. And let's celebrate the freedom that we have in Jesus before we go. In growth track number 3 is going to start at 12:30. We'd love for you to join us. Let's sing it again. I am free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.